looking for that perfect Christmas gift for the family? Why not a chicken? Stick a bow on top, put the chicken under the tree, and who knows, you may even have a couple eggs to fry up for breakfast Christmas morning. Give the gift that keeps on clucking. A chicken. Okay, maybe it's not the perfect gift for your family, but it is the perfect gift for a poor family in Asia. A chicken can break the cycle of poverty for a poor family. Yes, a chicken. A chicken's eggs provide food and nourishment for a family, and they can sell those eggs at the market for income. When you donate a chicken or any other animal through Gospel for Asia, 100% of what you give goes to the field. And the best gift of all, when Gospel for Asia gives a poor family an animal, it opens the door to the love of Jesus. So give the perfect gift for a family in Asia this Christmas. Give them a chicken. Call 866-WIN-ASIA. Or to see chickens and other animals to donate, go to CritterCampaign.org.
Hey, this is Mike Zwick from If Not For God podcast. Our show, Stories of Hopelessness Turned Into Hope. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it. Share it. But most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to the best of Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. In this podcast, you will get to hear some of the best calls and segments from Matt Slick Live. And here he is, Matt Slick.
As I have been promising, if you are so inclined, you can watch online. But here we go. I'm going to fix that. We have Justin Peters on the line with us, and I'm going to get to Justin here in a minute. Justin is an expert on the positive confession stuff, the wacko stuff that a lot of people teach within this so-called Christian denomination. I mean that in the sense of, yeah, there's real Christians, but there's a lot of people who teach some false things, and Justin and I are going to talk about it. You can get a hold of him at justinpeters.org, and without further ado, let me just get on the line with him. Justin, you're on the air, buddy. You there?
Hey. Yeah, amen. I am, Matt. How are you doing?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
Good, good. Doing well. Yeah.
By God's grace.
Honored to be on your program.
Well, hey, I'm honored to you're on. You know, you and I met. I remember we first met at an airport. I don't know where that was, though. Was that Texas? I'm trying to remember. Or is it, I don't remember, New Jersey? You remember?
Oh, New Jersey is the first time I remember us meeting. Okay. Do we actually meet in an airport the first time?
Yeah, you. I was waiting for you, and you came up to my left, and hey, there you go, and hi, and that was it. We've been buds ever since.
Oh, that's right. I remember that now.
That's
right. Okay. Yeah, that was a number of years ago, but yeah, good to be on your program.
Well, thanks. Normally, people try and forget me, but you haven't been able to do that, so that's good, I guess.
I've been able to shake it.
That's right. So everybody, what Justin does is he travels around quite a bit and speaking on this topic of the positive confession, name it and claim it, the heresies that are involved with it. So, Justin, why don't you explain in better detail what it is you do and how long you've been doing it and stuff like that?
Sure, Matt. Well, what I'm most known for is my work offering a biblical critique of what is called the Word of Faith movement, which is the proper term given to a movement that's more commonly known as the Name it and Claim it Gospel, the Health and Wealth Gospel, the Prosperity Gospel, the teaching that it is always God's will to be healthy, always God's will to be materially rich. Basically, not 100%, but upwards of probably 95% of what you see on TBN, Daystar, Christian television, this Health and Wealth, Name and Claim It, Prosperity Gospel, people such as Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, Jesse Duplantis, Joyce Meyer, Joel Osteen, Joseph Prince, Andrew Womack, are just some of the more prominent names. And also in with that, the New Apostolic Reformation, NAR, people may have heard that term. And that's a twin movement to Word of Faith. And it's everything Word of Faith is, even worse, even more emphasis on modern-day apostles and signs and wonders. Some of the leaders in the NAR would be people like Bill Johnson, Chris Valentin, Patricia King, Stacy Campbell, Chaon, Todd Bentley, and Todd White. And what you're seeing is today is in some other guys like Dan Moeller and others, but there's a little bit of distinction, Matt, but there's not a great deal of difference. And what we're seeing is that these two movements are basically just melding together into one big heretical theological stream. They're cross-pollinating at each other's churches and each other's conferences. Lou Engle would be another name. John Arnott, and so it's really, they're really just kind of melding into one. The way I first became interested in this movement is a very long story, but the very abbreviated version of it is that I was born with cerebral palsy. I walk with crutches, kind of a moderate case of CP. But when I was a teenager, a neighbor of mine came up to me and he said, "Justin, God has spoken to me and he's told me that he's going to heal you as long as you have enough faith." And at the time, I thought I was a Christian. I was raised in a Southern Baptist church. I was not truly converted until many years later, but I thought that I was because I'd, you know, prayed the prayer and walked the aisle and got baptized when I was seven. But at any rate, this man, he's one of these guys that God is always talking to. I mean, he's always getting a dream, always getting a vision. God seemed to talk to this fellow more than he did to Moses. He's just one of those guys that he's always got a new revelation of something, I didn't have my theological legs under me at all. Instead, I wasn't even converted, but I thought that this guy really heard from God, and he told me I was going to be healed as long as I had enough faith. And at the time, I wanted to be healed. I wanted to I wanted to do the things that my friends were doing. I wanted to be able to run and play sports and football and drive at the. I can do that now with the aid of hand controls, but I couldn't at the time. And so I really latched on to this. And he told me about a faith healer back in the day. This was back in 1989, a very well-known faith healer. She's dead now, but her name was Nora Lam, L-A-M. And she wrote a book entitled China Cry. And later, many years later, I found out that pretty much everything she told about herself was fabricated, just made up. But she came to do a healing crusade in my hometown, back in Vicksburg, Mississippi, where I was raised. And I was fully convinced that I was going to be healed. You know, I thought I had all the faith. I thought even that God had spoken to me one day. I remember one day, probably just a couple of weeks before her arrival for the healing crusade, I was just in my room doing some homework, and all of a sudden the scripture verse Acts 3:2 popped into my head, and I didn't know what Acts 3:2 was, and so I opened up my Bible and looked, and wow, it deals with healing. And I thought that was a sure sign. I mean, when that happened, I thought I was even more convinced, 100% convinced that I was going to be healed, and I'd be playing football for my high school football team the next year. So long story short, I went to see Nora Lam, and I, of course, was not healed. And that was my first exposure to the Word of Faith movement. At the time, I didn't even know it was a movement at all. But that was my first exposure to it. It wasn't until years later, however, that I began to study the movement at a more academic level as a seminary student. And then as I studied it, I began to realize that the origins of the prosperity gospel are not Christian at all. The origins can be traced back directly to the metaphysical cults like Christian Science, New Age, New Thought, Gnosticism, even some Kabbalah. And I began to realize how heretical the movement actually is. And so I began to study it, and I ended up writing my master's thesis for my Master of Theology degree at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. I wrote my master's thesis on Benny Hinn and the Word of Faith movement. And as part of my research for my thesis, I went to a number of Benny Hinn crusades. And so that's kind of what started my interest in this movement. And then a church in Alabama back in 2004 heard about my master's thesis, and they had a TBN personality living in their hometown. And they asked me to come over and teach on the Word of Faith movement, and I did. And really, Matt, ever since 2004, ever since I kind of did the early version of my first seminar, there at that church in Alabama, Hamilton, Alabama. The doors have just opened for me, and it's taken me now all around the world, all across the United States, and I've preached in 27 different countries now. So that's kind of the Cliff Note version. As I said, that this is what I'm known for, but I do have other interests. This is kind of, I've been a theologically typecast, I suppose you could say, but I do have other interests. So.
Yeah, well, I can see why. Yeah, because your CP and the issue of healing go hand in hand. And, you know, I remember when we were together at the seminar, watching you get up to the stage to be able to speak. And, you know, it's a bit of work for you. And I'm sorry, you know, but it's eye-catching. And particularly when you're going to speak about this related issue, it just draws attention. And I can see why God is using you this way, because it's powerful. And, you know, you're a good speaker, and you have a lot of good information. What I was telling people is that, you know, I've been doing this stuff for, you know, 40 years. I'm not surprised by anything anymore. But at that New Jersey conference, you surprised the heck out of me with some of the things that you were pulling out from these heretical teachers. And I still remember that. I was like, you have got to be kidding me. And so, you know, it was really good. You do a good job. You really do. So, okay, I got a question for you. What would you say is the greatest danger, the greatest heresy within the positive confession, prosperity gospel movement? What would you say it is?
I would say, Matt, the greatest heresy is probably the little God's doctrine. And this is something that a lot of people don't realize, is that the heart of the prosperity gospel is what is called the little God's doctrine. And the faith teachers, Word Faith, New Apostolic Reformation, actually teach that if you are a Christian, you are in fact a little God. And this is why they hold so tenaciously to health and wealth, because we're gods, and a God cannot be poor. A God certainly cannot be sick. And they have a very aberrant view of God. They diminish God and they deify man. In fact, I think one of the clips I sent to you is a real recent one of sure. Paula White. If you have that handy, maybe we could play that and let people listen to it.
Sure. As soon as Keith just gets it going, Keith is our producer. So, Keith, it's on you.
Okay. He doesn't just fill our church business or our churches. He fills everything with his presence. How does he do that? He does that through you. He does that through me. Wherever I go, God rules. When I walk on White House grounds, God walks on White House grounds. When I walked in the river, God walked in the river. When I go into the dry cleaner, that dry cleaning place becomes holy. I had every right and authority to declare the White House as holy ground because I was standing there, and where I stand is holy.
Yeah, that's right out of the Bible in the book of 2 Maronicles, I think. But at any rate.
I know. Yeah, that was just from last year. And Paula White, of course, she is one of probably the top spiritual advisor to President Trump. And this is not a political statement one way or the other, but our president has just awful spiritual advisors. I really wish he had some better theological advisors than that. Paula White is just horrible. But, you know, she says that wherever she goes, God goes. Wherever she rules, God rules, you know. And that's kind of a soft version. Sometimes they're more explicit. Like I have a clip of Creflo Dollar explicitly saying, "You are God."
Well, you want to get to that clip after the break?
And I hear the music.
Yeah, you want to do that clip after the break? How about that? Sound good? Hey, Keith, why don't we just...
I don't know that I have that clip.
Oh, you don't know if you have that one? Okay, we'll just come back after the break. No big deal. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages.
And now, a moment of truth with Matt Slick.
Folks, God's going to purify the church. There's two ways. One is through the preaching and the teaching of the people who are given the responsibility to open God's Word and speak out of the truth of God's Word.
that will thin the church out. It will purify the church. Or if they don't do their job, then God will do the job with persecution. And that will be the means that God uses to purify the church. And along with the purification of the members of the congregation, he will discipline the false teachers who are not preaching and teaching to purify the body of Christ and to equip them for the work of ministry. They're going to be held, we are going to be held to a higher standard. Speak the truth and let the truth do what it will in the hearts and the minds of people. It will cause division. People will leave and people will stay. The people who leave, let them go. The people who stay, teach them and equip them for the work of ministry so that they can expand the kingdom of God through the preaching and the teaching of the gospel of Christ in truth, not in error. And there's a lot of error being taught from pulpits today.
This has been A Moment of Truth with Matt Slick.
Thank you for listening to the best of Matt Slick. Take it away, Matt.
We have Justin Peters on the air with me, and Justin and I are discussing the issue of the positive confession movement and some of the heresies involved with it. And where were we before the break, Justin? I kind of forgot. What were you talking about?
We were discussing the little God doctrine.
That's right.
And how this is the, yeah, kind of the heart of the prosperity gospel. Because, I mean, you talk about having an entitlement mentality. This is an entitlement mentality on steroids. They teach that if you are a Christian, you are a little God, which is very similar, Matt, as you undoubtedly know with Karn and your extensive apologetics resources. This is very, very similar to Mormonism.
Yes.
In fact, it's the same basic heresy. It's just kind of repackaged for a more evangelical, whatever that term means anymore nowadays, more of an evangelical audience. But they teach that we are gods, and they all teach this. Creflo Dollar, Joyce Meyer, Bill Johnson, Chris Vallotton. This is a standard teaching in the Word Faith movement. And because you are a God cannot be poor, and a God certainly cannot be sick. And so we are entitled to health and wealth. People think that the movement is only about health and wealth. It's not. Health and wealth is just some of the bad low-hanging fruit off of a rotten theological tree that is the Word of Faith movement.
Yeah, that's true. You're familiar with some of the teaching about God living on another planet, and Adam could fly,
yeah,
and we have all great authority.
Right.
Some of the heresies that are just rampant. It's so bad, I'm not in the business of judging someone's salvation, you know, unless they openly deny the essentials of the Christian faith. Then I'm going to step in and say, well, that person's not a Christian. You know, they deny Jesus Christ as God in flesh, etc. So, you know, this is a serious question. Like Joel Osteen, okay, not to pick on him, mm-hmm, but he's the biggest guy right now. Could you maybe discuss a little bit about what he teaches? Because I have a question. Is he a Christian? I don't believe he is. I don't believe he's regenerate.
Yeah.
Because of his heresies that he teaches, the weakness of the gospel message he preaches, which I've heard him say, if you just ask Jesus in your heart, you're a Christian. You know, it's incredible. He said Mormons were Christians. The guy is as ignorant as a high schooler in this stuff. So maybe we talk about him. What do you think of Joel Osteen?
Yeah, great question, Matt. And I might offer to take a little bit of the pressure off your shoulders, and I'll put it on mine. I openly say that these people are not Christians. Whether we're talking about Kenneth Copeland or Bill Johnson or Bill Johnson, Kenneth Copeland, Jesse Duplantis, mm-hmm, Joyce Meyer, Creflo Dollar, all of them. I openly say they cannot be believers, because here's one of the great ironies in this entire discussion is that people in the Word of Faith movement, this hyper-charismatic Word Faith, NAR, they would look at someone like me, and as you know, I'm a cessationist. I believe that the apostolic gifts are no longer in operation today, but they would look at me and they would say, oh, you and everyone that shares my theology, they would say, you don't believe in the Holy Spirit. You don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. To the contrary, as I am so confident in the power of the third person of the triune God that I do not believe that someone can be indwelt by him and teach the jaw-dropping, blood-curdling heresies that they teach and have no prick of conscience at all. They have been teaching, I mean, we're not talking about who you think wrote the book of Hebrews or the date of the Exodus or something like that. These issues go to the heart of the gospel. They go to the heart of who Christ is. And we'll have another clip dealing with that here in just a minute. But we're talking heresy here. We're talking about fundamental doctrines of the faith. And they have been blaspheming God, offering false prophecies, teaching blatant, jaw-dropping heresies for years, some of them for decades. They've been called to repent, and yet they don't. They remain unrepentant. And that is not someone who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If they were truly indwelt by the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit of God would drop them to their knees under such heavy conviction. And I know you asked about Joel Osteen, so let's talk about him. You're right. When he comes across as stunningly ignorant of the Bible. In fact, I've even heard him in an interview. That I'm not putting words in his mouth. I've actually heard him say this. We don't have it queued up in the clip, but I've heard him say that he doesn't know much doctrine or theology. He has actually said that. He says that he said, "I'm just, my goal is to be an encourager." Well, if you don't know much doctrine and theology, get out of the pulpit. You have no business being in the pulpit. And I share your assessment that he is not regenerate because he preaches such a shallow and insipid gospel message. He is not once, not twice, but on multiple occasions in national television venues, which I guess really, if it's national, it's international nowadays, but he has denied that Jesus is the only way to be saved. He's done that on multiple occasions, and he has done it even after he caught a lot of flack for doing it back in, I think this was in 2006, when he did the interview with Larry King that's really famous or infamous, and he did a whole lot of damage control. But then later, several years later, being interviewed by Glenn Beck on Fox News, he did it again and was even more explicit in denying that Jesus is the only way to be saved. And so that's why I say that these people are not Christians, because there's just no evidence in their lives of being willing to have their theology corrected. They never repent of it. They continue to teach the same heresies. Now, Joel is a very winsome guy. You know, his personality is very winsome. He smiles a lot, but he is leading. I would say he is probably the single most dangerous false teacher on the planet, simply because of his reach. And he may smile a lot, but he is leading millions upon millions of people straight to hell.
Yep, I would agree with you. Have you ever been to his church? Because I did. I had a little bit of an interesting story. You ever been there?
I have. Yep, I've been there twice. Mm-hmm. And I even managed to talk to him briefly.
Oh, good for you. Which was like, wow.
Yeah, it didn't go well.
I wonder why. Yeah, maybe it wasn't that nice.
Yeah.
Well, when I went there, you know, I had a great feeling. I felt good. I was encouraged. I felt wonderful. And I was very aware of feeling good. There was no teaching. There was no depth. He scraped across the scriptures to glean what he wanted. And it was just as shallow as all get out. So we got a break coming up.
Yeah.
Right. And folks, we'll be right back after these messages.
And now, a moment of truth with Matt Slick.
Yeah, Wait a second. The blessing that comes from God is not based on how much money you give. The blessing comes from your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ.
He may strip you of everything so that you have nothing left but your faith in Him. And that can be the greatest blessing, because when you go to heaven, it's the greatest of rewards. What people do here is, well, they want you to get your blessing now. Right now, give me the money and you'll get blessed right now. It's a form of feeding on people's greed, on people's desire for security and financial gain. They're appealing to the sinfulness in you as well as others, myself included, that we want to have, we want to be blessed, we want about ourselves. And so what we'll do is, we're susceptible to listen to people like that. If you do this, you'll be blessed. Oh, I want to be blessed, so I should do it. And you, and they look like they're succeeding, but they're not. This is charlatan stuff. This is false doctrines, false teachers. They're wolves in sheep's clothing.
This has been A Moment of Truth with Matt Slick.
Welcome back to the best of Matt Slick. Take it away, Matt.
Welcome back to the show. We have Justin Peters on the line, and we've got a few calls coming in. For those of you who want to talk to with Justin, we're going to only be taking questions that are related to this topic. Now, before we get to back to Justin, and he's going to play a clip here. When I went, Justin, I went to there, and I was with a friend, and we went to the bookstore. I wanted to check out what they had in the books. I always do that when I go to churches. One of the first things I do, I go look at their bookstore or their library. I judge a lot that way. And I couldn't find any systematic theology. Right. So I asked the guy who was working there, do you have any books on systematic theology? And he said, he frowned and he paused and he looked at me and he actually said, "What's that?" This was the manager.
Right.
I think it was the manager. No, he wasn't. He wasn't the manager. That's right. Because he wouldn't talk to the manager. So while he was gone, this library was as big as most churches, this bookstore. A lot of stuff to sell. And he comes back after 15 minutes and said, "No, we don't have any systematic theologies here." And it really taught me a lot. Now, folks, a systematic theology is a book that arranges theology systematically. It's not that we want to judge all churches if they have them or not, but something that huge, you'd think they have a theology section, but they didn't. And it was really telling. But anyway, Justin, so I think you had a clip you wanted to get to, right?
Yeah, there's a clip, if Keith could pull it up for us. It's the one entitled Bethel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been to Bethel too.
Yeah. Have you? Okay. Yep.
But yeah, it was interesting.
While he's pulling that up, Bethel is out in Redding, California, pastored by Bill Johnson, and one of the leaders in the New Apostolic Reformation.
I had a pastor say some things that hurt me really bad. Hurt me so bad. Messed me up emotionally, mentally, really messed me up. Nothing physical, nothing like that. A pastor I really respected said some words and hurt me so bad. And one time I was laying on the floor, actually it was in this room, I'm laying on the floor, and in a vision, in an encounter with God, in a vision, Jesus picks me up and holds me so close that I can't see anything. And he holds me so close, and Jesus starts to weep, and he says, "Please forgive me. Please forgive me." I said, "What are you talking about? Please forgive you." He said, "When that pastor hurt you, it's as if I hurt you, because he's a member of my body. Please forgive me."
Is that not shocking? That is from a man named Seth Dahl, D-A-H-L. He's on staff there at Bethel, or at least he was up until recently. And Matt, that is one of the most, there just are no words. Sometimes blasphemy is not strong enough a word.
Yeah, that's damnable blasphemy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and see, that's why I say you cannot be indwelt by the Holy Spirit and teach such things. The Holy Spirit is not a weakling. He's not a girly man. He's strong. If he's strong enough to save us, he is strong enough to deliver us out of deception. And the very notion that Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world would actually come to a wretched, vile, sinful creature and ask him for forgiveness is just, I'm at a loss for words to describe how.
Well, I would say, I'd say that the vision he had was from Satan, and that he is not regenerate, and this is why he does not understand the difference between the presence of Satan and the presence of God. He's not experienced the latter. When you experience the presence of God, you do not ever even begin to approach the idea that God would ask forgiveness for anything. It is damnable, filthy, vile heresy from the pit of hell, and it is.
And if you're exactly right. And if I can, you can't. Of course, we couldn't see this because this was audio. But when you play the video clip, that music that we heard right at the beginning, that was the Bethel logo. And so, I say that to say this: this was not something that kind of accidentally slipped by the editing team, and they thought, "Oh man, I wish we hadn't let that get on the air." No, they were using this in their advertising, and they're proud of this.
Wow.
They were using it in their advertising, which shows you how theologically bankrupt that entire system is.
You know, when I was there, there's a guy, I won't say his name, but there's a guy who's well-entrenched in the area and who knows stuff, and I'm going to leave it that way because of stuff. But anyway, he was telling me that Bethel is donating great amount of money to the police force, to various things. They're not taking over the town, but they're taking over the town, but they're not really taking it over. They have that much influence. Mm-hmm. He also told me that when he went, he was there, and some Bethelites came up and asked him if he wanted healing. Now, before I tell you what happened, when my friend and I went to Bethel, the first door we went into, they said, "Oh, are you here for your healing? Sign up right here." We said, "No, we're just here to check the place out." "Oh, go down there." It was, you know, you signed up to get in line to be prayed for healing. So anyway, this man, knowing how bad Bethel was, said to them, "You know, what do you want?" And they go, "Oh, we're going to pray for your healing. You know, we have a need." And he said, "Well, no, I'm fine, but what? I'm just curious. What is the gospel?" And they didn't know what the gospel was. He said they could not tell him the gospel. They had gone through their training school, did not know what the gospel was. They didn't have an answer. And they just kind of excused themselves politely and went to somebody else. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me in the least. In fact, Matt, as you were just describing that, it made me think of a baptismal service that I watched online on YouTube from Bethel Church, and they had these people up on stage. There were probably about 25 of them or so, and they were all baptismal candidates. They were about to get baptized, and the guy with the microphone went around to each one, and he asked them this question: "Why are you here to be baptized?" And so they would all give a very brief, what they would call a quote-unquote testimony, but none of them, I watched the whole thing, I took notes, not a single person could articulate even the bare minimum of a testimony that would even tangentially resemble something of that we would recognize as the gospel. In fact, one lady, I kid you not, this is not hyperbole, I have it on video. When she was asked, why do you want to be baptized? She said, "Because I want to be a warrior for the animal kingdom." I kid you not. "I want to be a warrior for the animal kingdom." And the guy said, "Oh, that's great." And they baptized her. I mean, you can't even make this stuff up. Yeah.
Well, maybe we could. Maybe we could get some heresies, put them into a hat, and pick out random ones and make a sentence and see if someone will salute it. You know, maybe go to Bethel. They probably do. Wow. Yeah, that's just, you know, it's sad to hear it. As an apologist, you know, I have this I don't know, block between myself and the heresies, where I'm not immune to them, but I'm so used to them that it's like having an overcoat on in the cold. I'm not really affected by it. But as soon as I just relax, so to speak, and put it in perspective and think about these things and really just let my heart and my mind, the Spirit of God, move. You know, it's so disturbing to hear the incredible lies and deception that are coming forth from the people within this movement. And the Christian church doesn't know mm-hmm. enough to be able to discern the truth from error. They're not trusting the Word of God. They're not. They're just not believing.
Yeah.
They don't know. Well, do you have another clip? We got a break coming up here in a little bit. Maybe we'll take a call or two afterwards. But you got another clip you want to get to before or after the break in about a minute?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah, we've got another clip. We could talk about maybe play the one that Ken Copeland. Kenneth Copeland, Jesus Was Born Again.
Yeah, let's hear that one. Jesus Was Born Again. Oh, man. Oh, I'm going to start laughing. It's so bad, you know. Like, it's like when it hurts so bad, you laugh. Yeah. So we do have a break coming up. And there's a break. So what we'll do, we'll come back after that. After the break, we'll come back and play that one and then see if we can take a call or two. Is that okay? Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right, man. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We're on the phone. We're here with Justin Peters. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
And now, a moment of truth with Matt Slick.
If there's a false teacher out there that people are paying attention to, the job of the pastor, the elder, is to guard the flock. So if I'm up there preaching about some text and it comes up where it says, ye are gods in John 10:34, which is a quote from Psalm 22 or 82:6, I'm going to say that the Mormons use it a certain way, and I'm going to say, and some Christian preachers use it this way. Kenneth Copeland and Joyce Meyer both teach that we're little gods. Well, this is false. I mean, I would say it because it needs to be said at that time. But too many pastors are afraid to not offend anybody. They don't want to offend anybody because they might not come to the church. They might look at you and say, who cares? If Jesus were in your church and he was preaching from the pulpit, what would he say? Now, we have to emulate and represent Christ. And I'm not saying just go around throwing mud at everybody. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when it's necessary, when the time is there, the pastor is obligated to name names as needs to be done. Just as Paul the Apostle named names in the New Testament about false teachers. He called them out. This is the job of the pastor to do that as well. The job of the pastor is not to babysit, not to change diapers. It's not to make people feel good. It's to teach the Word of God.
This has been a Moment of Truth with Matt Slick.
Thank you for listening to the best of Matt Slick. Take it away, Matt.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. I think we've got a clip that we're ready for, so why don't we get on that?
For the coming High Priest of the Heavenly Holy of Holies was hanging on that cross. And then he went to hell. He went before and stood in the heavenly courts of justice. A sin free, born again man. And God called him righteous.
So much heresy, so little time. So that was Kenneth Copeland.
Yeah, and that was a very recent clip. That was just from earlier this year. There's so much here, Matt, but they're not only do they have an aberrant view of God and a deified view of man, they have a very low view of Christ.
Yeah.
You just heard there Kenneth Copeland say that Jesus was a born again man.
Why is that so bad?
Basically, Jesus didn't need to be born again, given the fact that he was sinless. So there's that. That is just massively heretical. But that goes to something what's called kenosis. They believe that Jesus completely divested himself of deity, and atoned for our sins not on the cross but actually in hell. They teach that when Jesus died on the cross, he then went to hell, died a spiritual death, ceased to be God, and had to be reborn. They actually teach that Jesus had to get saved. Kenneth Copeland teaches this. Bill Johnson teaches this. It's a standard teaching Word of Faith movement that the real atonement of our sins took place not on the cross, but down in hell where Jesus had to become a born again. He had to get saved. And it's just jaw-dropping, like heretical.
Well, to say that Jesus lost his divine nature is to destroy the hypostatic union and invalidate the atoning sacrifice of Christ. And I can connect all the theological dots some other time, but this is a damnable heresy. And anybody who will be teaching this cannot be considered a true Christian. And these people are in service of the devil. They are in service of the enemy preaching a false gospel. And as you could listen on the clip also, the people saying, amen, amen. Yes, that's right, preach it, whatever. This kind of stuff is horrible. Jesus actually prophesied or asked the question in a prophetic sense, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? And we know from Timothy, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, there's going to be an apostasy of some sorts, and it's occurring inside of the Protestant denominations. Even as you and I talk about it, I mean, it's incredible. I'm constantly telling people, study the Word of God, believe the Word of God. Don't trust some guy in the radio named Slick. Study the Word of God for yourself, and don't believe Kenneth Copeland or Kenneth Hagin or Joel Osteen or Joyce Meyer and all these other false teachers. You know, they have a lot of good mixed in, but people who don't have discernment because they don't study the Word of God don't know where the dividing line is. Before we get to the total end of the show, I forgot to do this at the bottom of the hour. I would like you, if you would, tell people how they can get a hold of you, because I think that's very important.
Sure, Matt. My website is justinpeters.org. It's my name, .org. Yeah. And they can contact me there. Yeah, all the information, doctrinal statement, all that fun stuff is there on my website.
Yeah, and if you want him to come out to your church and speak, it's good stuff. He plays the clips. I've heard him do it. I've seen him do it. And it's really interesting. And let me tell you, folks, we can't even begin to get into enough of this stuff here. I mean, we're going to be forced to have this guy back on again, I think, is what's going to have to happen here. So, oh, I know you. Well, you're a great guy. You are. I don't care what Andrew says about you, but you know you're okay.
yeah.
So, all right. So they teach a false gospel. They teach a weakened Christ and deny the true nature of Christ. They exalt their man. That's always what happens in false theologies. God is reduced. Man is exalted. It's right out of Satan and Genesis 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do you have another clip you want to get to, or another little comment you want to jump in on? Because I know you got so much that you can talk about.
Oh yeah, my goodness, there's so many. Let's see. Oh no, I don't know. We can save the other clips for maybe the next time.
Let's do another time. Let's do that.
Sure,
maybe we could.
Sure.
You let me know when. Maybe we could do another one a week from today, on Friday, if you want. We'll figure it out. Whatever's good for you, and I think we'll get some more clips and stuff going. So why don't we take a call then? All right, you up for that?
Sure.
All right.
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, let's get on the phone here with Clay from Raleigh, North Carolina. Clay, you're on the air with Matt.
Well, Brother Matt, let me first off share that I don't know much about Brother Justin, but I'm going to check out his website because, you know, to hear you say what you said the other day about bringing him on, mm-hmm. about what he was going to introduce, you know, I can share with y'all, I don't know if you know this, years ago I was doing an outreach in downtown Raleigh and downtown Durham, and the man who was helping had on the back of his van called What is the Gospel, and underneath each letter was God offers sinful people eternal life. I am, you know, a believer that when a person can break down a word such as Romans chapter 8, verse 29, that God foreknew, and he says, you know, God foreknew that each of us was going to be here today in a Bible study. And then, you know, you go on, and creation is in the book of Genesis, but it goes so much farther than that. I could go on.
Does.
I maybe could preach. But
well, let me ask you.
I'll tell you what.
Did you have a question for Justin? You have a question about this stuff, or you just want to make a comment?
Justin, you know, I'm so thankful that you are bringing this out, because I know at least five, six, or seven people that watch J.O. I've never been to the church that he preaches from, but when you shared what you shared just a little bit ago, just to hear what you say. Because I truly believe, you know, I come from a Methodist background. I'm a Baptist, and I heard that when you were fully immersed under the water, that is a cleansing of your person to know that you were a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, because the difference between sprinkled and getting fully cleansed. I want to say thank you for saying that, because I only watched the man two or three times and I wasn't sure of where he was going with his message. And yes, he does smile a lot, but I just want to say thank you so much, because this is a blessing, because people need to hear this. People need to hear what this is. And I listen to Truth Radio all the time. I listen to, you know, people like the preachers that are on there, and these people are, it's doctrine, like you're, like both of you are saying, it's doctrine, because it's written in God's holy word. That's why these people preach. It's like I've shared with people.
Clay, kind of I know you're excited, and I do appreciate that.
I am, bro.
Yeah.
Can I share this with you real quick? I shared in a message last year. I said, y'all imagine this. I said, take this into your heart, not your head. God does not cause it. He allows it. And people were like, where'd you get that from? And I'm like, he gets us through this. When we go through the trials, it says in the book of James.
Okay, Clay.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes, sir.
I appreciate it. I think you need to have a radio show, because you're going, man. That's right, you're going.
Well, so God bless you, brother Matt. God bless you, brother Justin. Thank y'all so much. Thank you for doing this. And I really hope and pray he's on again, because, man,
we'll get him on again.
So much clarification for me.
We'll get him on again, okay? All right.
Okay, Clay. Brother. God bless you, man. I hope and pray I made your day.
Yeah, I think so. Thanks a lot, brother. All right, well, that was Clay, and I'm smiling here. Some people just get excited. And, hey, you know what? I remember once, Justin, you and I were talking. I know you got a lot of stories. Do you remember the time when I called you Batman? Remember that? What you were talking about?
I do remember that. Yeah, Andrew never let me forget it.
That's right, because you're Batman. Could you tell the story? I think it's a great story. I do.
Oh, my goodness. You're talking about me going to Todd Bentley?
Yeah. I want to hear how.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. This is a good story.
All right.
We were all transfixed when you were telling it. So I love this story. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Now, have we got a hard end up coming up here in like 4 minutes or something?
We have about 4 minutes, and so you'll hear the music, so you got about 4 minutes.
Okay. So, all right, several years ago, 2014, Todd Bentley, and he's called Bam Bam Bentley, because he really burst on the scene in 2008, Lakeland Revival. He's the guy that claimed that God told him to kick an elderly woman in the face with his biker boot and all this nonsense. I truly believe the man is demon-possessed. I don't say that hyperbolically. I genuinely do. But he was doing a series of meetings in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I was living in Oklahoma at the time, so I went. And I went with the express purpose of calling him out publicly, because I saw that these meetings were being live-streamed on the Internet. And they said that people all around the world, 76 different countries, were watching, and so I thought this would be a great opportunity. So I went to the meeting, and towards the end of it, Todd Bentley was walking around up on the in the front of the sanctuary, and I thought, well, now's my chance. So I stood up on my crutches, and I walked up behind him, and he turned around, and he saw me standing there on my crutches, and he said, well, I'm going to pray for you, meaning that I'm going to, you know, pray for the sick, because he could see I was crippled. And I said, I have a word. And he said, well, is it a good word? And then he put the microphone in front of my face. Now, consider the irony. I'm in a room full of 400 or so people, all of whom, Todd Bentley especially, claim that God speaks to them regularly, gives them words of knowledge and things like this. But God apparently did not bother to give Todd Bentley a heads up about what I was about to do to him. So he said, is it a good word? And he puts the microphone in front of my face. And I quote Matthew 7. 21-23, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons, perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And I said, this man is a worker of iniquity. And he said, which man? And I said, you. And then, of course, he immediately walked away. By this time, there were people, some of his goons or whatever were standing up. They were pulling my arm, which they nearly made me fall. But anyway, because I'm standing there on my crutches, so he immediately turns away, and they usher me out of the congregation. And as I'm walking down the aisle, I'm preaching as loudly as I can, warning people about who he is. And that's why that's why you call me Batman, I suppose.
It's on YouTube.
To this day, I don't even know who recorded it. I don't know, but there's a clip of it up on YouTube.
Well, you are Batman. I mean, you went up there on your crutches, and I can't believe this guy gave you the mic. This is so awesome. Gives you the mic.
Oh, I know.
And then you say what you said. I'm like, yeah, you're Batman. So, way to go. Good for you. It's awesome. It is. You're awesome, man.
I tell you, I wanted to do it. I thought, now, before people think too highly of me, I'd almost chickened out. I'd been sitting in the service for 3 hours, and I kept thinking to myself, I'm really going to do this.
You could do it. That's
right.
I
almost talked myself out of it, but I didn't.
All right. Hey, folks, this is Justin Peters on the air with me. Go to justinpeters.org. And you can check him out and all the stuff he does. We'll have him back on again.
Thank you for listening to the best of Matt Slick Live. For more great content like this, or to donate to the ministry, be sure to visit carm.org. You can also catch Matt Slick Live every weekday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Truth Network app and YouTube.